This Shravanam Kirtan camp has been titled Bhakti Siddhanta Vani. There's no particular reason to give some title, because unless one specifically wants to speak on some topic, but that's a general title. We might think that I'm going to give a rehash or a summary of what I wrote in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, or that I'm going to reveal some new truths, not presented there, something new. I always want something new. Actually, in Vedic culture, that which is old is considered better, not new. In Western culture, the youth is glorified. In Vedic culture, the elders, it's considered better to be older than younger, in the sense that one is supposed to have more intelligence. We talk about wise old men, the foolishness of youth. But in the Western culture, or the we can say materialistic culture in general, there's no program for transforming foolish youth into wise old men. So we get foolish youth, foolish middle-aged, foolish elders, and they go to the grave as foolish as they were born. So whatever we speak about as followers of Srila Prabhupada has to be Bhaktisiddhanta Vani, because Srila Prabhupada only spoke Bhaktisiddhanta Vani. If he had spoken anything else, then he wouldn't be Srila Prabhupada. Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatane. He, in his self-composed pranam mantra, self-composed, because his disciples didn't have a clue, not only about Sanskrit, but even how to glorify him in the proper way at that time. So Srila Prabhupada, in his self-composed pranam mantra, identified himself as a servant of Sarasvati Thakur, who is preaching the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Western world and delivering it from impersonalism and voidism. So Bhaktisiddhanta Vani means not just to speak on his life and teachings, but to speak what we call the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, to establish that reality is Krishna and our relationship with him. Reality means bhakti. Particularly Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur very clearly distinguished reality from illusion for the welfare of all. What is the actual truth? What is the ultimate truth? And of course, Srila Prabhupada completely followed in his footsteps in doing so. Completely, yes, you may be familiar with this, distinguishing reality from illusion for the welfare of all. Where's that from? Does anyone recognize that? Okay, we know you know. Now I expect you to know. I would hope so, after being in Bhagavatam class for how many years? 20 years? 25 years? Something. 21 years. If you didn't know it by now, then, well, you do know it. All right. So anyone else? Students of Srimad Bhagavatam? Second verse in the first canto, first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, which defines the meaning and purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma projita kaitavatra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavam atravastu shivadang tapa trayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavate mahamuni krite king baya parair ishvara Sadhyo hridyava rudyate chokatibi susru shibis takshanat. Completely rejecting all religious principles which are materially motivated, this Srimad Bhagavatam propounds the highest truth, which is, what's the next word? Available to, appreciated by Personhood. I can't remember the exact translation as it's given, which is propounded or by persons who are completely free from envy. The Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled by the great sage Vyas in his maturity, and it delivers Vedyam Vastava Matra Vastu. This is the actual message of the Vedas, which it distinguishes reality from illusion for the welfare of all. And anyone who sincerely hears this message of Srimad Bhagavatam will have the Supreme Lord immediately established within his heart. So, distinguishing reality from illusion, that is the first thing that the gurus teach. Prem is generally, that's attainment of Krishna Prem, the ultimate goal of life. That comes, there is a process. Ado, Shraddha, Tata, Sadhu, Sangha, Tato, Nato, Nivritti, Syat. Tato nishtas ruchistata ata saktis tato bhava ato prema bhudanchati sadha kana mayang prema pradu bhave bhavet kramaha. It's a gradual process. First of all, one has to have some initial faith. Then we'll consciously associate with devotees under their guidance. Engage in the activities of devotional service, by the power of which one will become free from all unwanted things. Then one will become very steady in one's service, very attached to the process, gain a taste for it, become completely attached to it, then come to the level of ecstasy in devotional service, and then prem is awakened. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as a genuine guru, he didn't dish out dollops of artificial prem, but being in this world of illusion, he spoke the truth, distinguishing reality from illusion. So in this seminar, I don't plan to speak particularly on the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur exactly as he received. I might not be quoting from him very much, but it's all Bhaktisiddhanta Vani that begins with distinguishing reality from illusion, which was very much part of his mission, an unusual or remarkable facet of his distinguishing reality from illusion was that even within, and to a large extent, he distinguished reality from illusion within the society of Vaishnavas. That term, Vaishnava Samaj, society of Vaishnavas, is repeatedly used in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments what is the actual society of Vaishnavas. So it is to be expected that those who are the Vaishnavas, they're already on the right side. They've come to the side of truth, of reality. They're not in the world of illusion. That's what it means to be a Vaishnava. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out that often pointed out, and in many ways, how many people who presume themselves to be Vaishnavas and who are presumed by others to be Vaishnavas, they are actually not practicing Krishna consciousness in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. And that is purifying. And it's not purifying them. Why is that? Because it's materially motivated. So this Bhagavatam can be understood by devotees who are fully pure in heart. And a major part of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's preaching was to purify the heart by cutting out from it, from the hearts of his hearers, all illusions and misconceptions. he spoke that a sadhu is one who stands like the sacrificer in a Vedic sacrifice when an animal is killed. He stands with the knife ready to cut the head off. Doesn't sound so nice, does it? Sounds something like this, what's that called? Islamic State, cutting the heads off. But he said a sadhu is like that. Well, that's derived from the Bhagavatam verse spoken by Krishna, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur often used to quote. Tato dusangam utsrijya satsu sajeta buddhiman santa evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktibihi. Therefore, so this verse doesn't stand independently, it comes in opposition to the topics discussed prior to that. Therefore, which means having understood this world to be useless, that's the polite way to put it. One should give up bad association. Tato du sangam utsrija. And being intelligent, one should associate with sadhus, saintly persons. What are the sadhus? They're the persons who, by their words, they cut. You see the cut. Cut our material attachments. So that was very much Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Revealing the truth for those who want to hear it. Not everyone wants to hear the truth. Generally, what is presented as the truth in this world is not the truth at all. What we learn from the culture in which we are raised, that means the people all around us, from TV, the internet, politicians, teachers at school, it's not the truth, although it's presented as the truth. They say, well, that's the truth. They taught us that, what is that, in a right angle triangle, x squared, what is that, x squared plus y squared equals z squared, 180 degrees. It's true. New Delhi is the capital of India. I learned it at school. It's true. Okay, all right, it's true. Relatively true. Relative truth. But the whole concept that to know these things is knowledge, and to live in this world, just living. What for? Well, no one thinks about it very much. This is not truth. This is an covering of the truth, obfuscation of the truth. Especially the newspapers, they give us the news, history. What are news? What is the news? What is history? It means what certain people who don't have our best interest in heart want us to believe. So you can never really be sure what's going on. Just now we find in the Western news media about this demoniac Islamic State, but some people think it was started by the US CIA itself, as Al-Qaeda documentedly was. Now we don't hear much about Al-Qaeda these days because it's been eclipsed in nastiness. So we're told. We don't really know. We're told in the Western press that Russia with Putin, they're demoniacally aggressive in attacking Ukraine. From, if you read the Russian press, it's, you're going to get a different story. So what is the news? What is the truth? The truth depends where you are and which newspapers you're reading. That means that the newspapers, they may give the truth, but not the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They may give you the news, but what they want you to believe. And they may suppress certain other kinds of news, which they don't want you to know. Therefore, there are so many conspiracy theories. There's so many conspiracy theories. And sometimes devotees, they get all excited about conspiracy theories, but I don't bother with them, because you can't work out whether any of them are true. There's so many of them. Maybe one of them or two of them are true, but it's so many of them. In the meantime, we have to chant Hare Krishna. And even if you do find out that actually there's a plot and there are subterranean beings planning to invade us in 3 days or something like that, what are you going to do about it? You could arrange to give them prasadam and chant Hare Krishna. Maybe you could do that. But then it's probably not true. It's all a Jewish conspiracy. Well, maybe it is. But what are you going to do about it? What can we do? We're very small beings. We have to utilize this life for being Krishna conscious. Sometimes the newspapers themselves, they reveal all the nasty, underhand things that people are doing. And they bring it out and reveal the shocking truth. There was a newspaper in Britain called The News of the World, which revelled in giving shocking revelations, bringing out the truth of all the bad things. Well, not all the bad things, but the things they consider bad. Actually, they showing that politicians and so on are lying and cheating. But anyway, they're all eating meat. You can put in the newspaper that British Prime Minister eats meat. It's a very bad thing to do. But the people say, well, so what? So they don't know what's right and what's wrong anyway. What they're doing is all wrong, beginning to end. But they have the idea that, well, it's okay to eat meat and drink wine and all these kind of things, but to tell lies to the people and siphon off funds by various economic manipulations, that's wrong. So you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't tell lies so that people get killed. You can kill the animals. That's all. Nothing wrong with that. So that anyway, they don't know what's right and what's wrong. But this News of the World used to bring out these shocking revelations, revealing the truth about big businessmen and mostly big people, all the wrong things they were doing. Now and then it got revealed. It became itself the target of a inquiry, and revealing that the way that the News of the World reporters acted was also illegal, and therefore the end result was the whole newspaper got shut down. But newspaper revelations, sometimes they bring out the truth of what some politicians are doing, and the reputation of politicians in general goes down. That was markedly true in the Watergate case in the 1970s, if any of you remember. I remember hearing Watergate. I wasn't very interested, but there was something. President Nixon of the United States, who has gone to meet his maker. Well, that's what they think. It's a funny thing. They say he's gone to meet his creator, because they think the body is the self. And they think when you die, if you're a Christian, you go to meet, you go and shake hands with him or something like that. They have no idea. So he's gone to meet his, he's dead. But anyway, he was revealed by investigative journalists as having been behind a break-in of the Democratic Party office, the opposing party, supposed to be opposing party, and which President of the United States not meant to do that, and on top of that he lied and lied and lied that he hadn't done it until he could no longer lie, and then he had to resign. And the reputation of politicians, the general esteem of politicians went down, and it's been going down more or less ever since. So that nowadays people in general don't even expect politicians to speak. They hardly expect them to speak the truth. And still some people vote for them. Now in India they want to introduce that you have to vote by law. You don't have a choice not to vote. You can't vote with your feet, as they say. But you have to vote for someone or other. I guess people are uninterested. And some of our devotees, some of our ISKCON leaders, they also tell you, go and vote for this party or that party. Well, I don't say that. I never voted for any politician myself. Actually, Srila Prabhupada wrote in one purport that we shouldn't vote for any party unless they stop cow killing. So, for all the good hope in India of the BJP, locally in two states, they stopped selling beef, but not cow killing in Maharashtra. It's a funny thing. Still, the cow killing is going on. I happen to know because I was just on the border and I saw cows being driven to slaughter in the Gujarat-Maharashtra border. So I asked some local people, they send them to the illegal slaughterhouse. A big slaughterhouse just on Gujarat-Maharashtra border, because in Gujarat, cow killing is illegal, so you just take them over the border and Hare Krishna. So, and in Karnataka, they tried to bring it in also, but in general, they don't seem to be very serious about it, certainly not at the national level. So Srila Prabhupada said, don't vote for anyone, any party that's not going to stop cow killing. Anyway, getting off track from the subject, I was talking about the truth and how politicians famously don't speak the truth. Of course, Chanakya Pandit, he stated that many years ago there's a half shloka that Srila Prabhupada often quoted. We don't quote it nowadays in ISKCON, you're not supposed to. Because here's the verse. It says, Vishvaso naiva kartavya strishu raja kuleshu cha, which means that one should not place faith in women or in politicians. So because of the women part, you're not supposed to say it. But anyway, Srila Prabhupada said it, so I said it also. And if you don't like it, well, you can go and complain and get it edited out of Prabhupada's books if you like. You can try. So, when these revelations come out, some people get a little idea of how they're being manipulated, thought manipulated. The idea is that we're supposed to be free, it's a free country, we can choose whatever we like to do as long as it's within the law, which means you're not so free, but you have more freedom. You have the freedom to vote for who you like, you have the freedom to dye your hair pink, purple and green if you like, you have the freedom to insult the Prime Minister or even the Queen, which in other countries, if you tried doing it, you would likely end up in prison at best. Mabila, the idea that we're free, although we are thought manipulated. You are what, largely, who are we? We are what we think. That's why there's all these lifestyle gurus teaching you to think positively, because we are what we think, and literally we become what we think. Yang yang vapi smiran bhavam tyajyanteva kalevaram tang tame vaite kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavita. What we think at the time of death makes our next body. And what we think at the time of death is shaped by what we have thought about throughout life. So we are what we think, and people who are intelligent in a certain way, they realize this, and therefore they try to manipulate the ways that we think. And hardly give us any opportunity to think seriously about the real purpose of life, because even though I have so many universities, which to go to them and to even to be admitted, one has to have good thinking capacity, and many well-paying jobs in the modern world, they go to people who are good at thinking. Especially companies like Google, they very much value thinkers, people who can think in creative ways. The motto of Google is "Think different." Well, if everyone thought different, it should be "Think differently" if they were to follow proper English. But I guess that's part of Google culture, is that you lop off whatever you don't need to keep, you just throw it out. So think different, but everyone thought too differently, then you couldn't operate at all. The thinking differently has to be within a very narrow spectrum. Otherwise, if you're driving along the road on the wrong side, in America, do they drive on the right side or the left side? On the wrong side, from the British point of view. So as they, but if they suddenly think different and think that, well, I think I'll drive on the other side. Well, they think different, and they'll be thinking very different in just a second when their thinking processes come to a sudden end, and then they get some body as a cat or a dog, and then they're thinking differently, very differently. So basically we have to think the same as everyone else most of the time, but within that little bit small spectrum, they can think differently how to make a new app, as they call it, because they couldn't waste their time by saying four syllables, application, so they say app, because there's no time to waste. We have to make some more apps, so we can't waste time saying application. So they're very busy thinking differently, but all their thinking simply entangles them in birth, death, old age, and disease, which may sound, when we hear birth, death, old age, by the time we hear birth, death, we're already asleep. We don't hear the old age because I heard it so many times. Birth, death, eating, sleeping, already asleep. Heard that so many times. Boring. But it's pretty miserable, isn't it? Birth, death, old age. You hear it so many times, and then we become just, oh yeah, I heard that before. I know that. I did my Bhakti Shastri course 5 years. I know all that. But it is an overwhelming reality that we are faced with. Birth, death, old age, and disease. They don't think. Apashyatam atma tattvam griheshu grihame dinam. Being overwhelmed with desire for a domestic happiness. they do not see what they should see, what they actually see, that people are dying, that people don't see. They're not interested in knowledge of the soul, because they're interested in being happy at home, not wanting to think different. Well, you're going to have to die. And what happens after that? They don't like to think about these things due to a bad system of education. Srila Prabhupada wrote in one purport. This education means to program you to be a worker, like an ant in an ant's nest. You just work. And you're a consumer. You have to stay within your boundaries. Think different, but don't think too different. Don't start thinking, for instance, what is the purpose of life? Don't think about anything metaphysical. There's nothing metaphysical. That's just some imagination. They say. We don't say. They say. You have to think about your career, your responsibility, your image, your, what's that called, street profile? Street credibility, yeah. Street cred. Yeah, that's it. Street cred. Yeah. You walk down the street and walk like this and hope that people are looking at you, but no one's looking at you. Oh, to stand out in the crowd. All nonsense. All nonsense. What is it? What is life? TV, sport, sex. What else? What else do they make? Intoxication. So we have this, all these things just conditioning us. Srila Prabhupada used that term, conditioned soul. Actually, the Sanskrit is mayabaddha jeev, one who is bound up, a living being who is bound up by the illusory potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada said conditioned soul, means conditioned by the three modes of material nature. Atmanam trigunatmakam. The self becomes as if he thinks that he is a product of the three modes of material nature. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasango sadasadyoni janmasu. The living being becomes stuck in material, becomes situated in material nature, very purusha prakriti stohi, very solidly stuck, and tries to enjoy that nature, which is composed of the three modes of material nature. But actually, due to the three modes of material nature, he gets different bodies, some which he thinks are better and some which he thinks are worse. So this is Atmanam Trigunatmakam, identifying with the three modes of material nature. So, although there are various people who are trying to program us to think in the way that they think it's best that we think, that we should think, but they themselves are also programmed. They themselves are also being, they've accepted an illusion. They're propagating one kind of illusion, but they themselves are in a bigger, we're all in the same illusion. The illusion that I am the body, I am meant to enjoy this world. So in various ways, the Maya offers many, 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 many different possibilities of how to enjoy ourselves. Hoya Mayardas Kori Nana Obhilash. When we become a servant of Maya, we have so many desires, so many varieties of desires under the three modes of material nature. Some things which some people think are horrible, other people think is very nice. Srila Prabhupada recounted an incident which he remembered from his youth in Calcutta. In this country, if people want to eat chicken, I know you don't like to eat chicken, but well, some devotees, they eat this soya chicken, and I don't know why they're... I mean, if you want to eat chicken, go ahead. How can you offer to Gaur Nitai soya chicken? Well, I guess you can stick it in front of them, I didn't find it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, any such thing. There are extensive descriptions. Anyway, people who like to eat chicken, they go to Tesco or whatever and get it out of the fridge. It's all nicely packaged, and there's no blood in there, and it all looks pretty clean and nice. To them, it looks nice. But the system in probably most of the countries in the world up to the present day, including India, is that if you want to eat chicken, you have to kill it yourself. Or you could have it done at the butcher's shop right in front of you, and you get it fresh. Of course, there's usually quite a lot of flies flying around. Sunday's a very bad day in India for the chickens, because it's the day when people have a day off, and then they spend their money to buy a chicken, and not as a pet. So, Srila Prabhupada recalled this incident which he saw in his childhood of a man killing a chicken. He saw that in the street, maybe it was a butcher shop, and the man's young son was crying and saying, "Oh, it was horrible." And the man said, no, it's very nice. Why are you crying?" So in this way, the father was conditioning his son. The son's natural horror at seeing the chicken killed was, the father was training him, "Don't think like that, it's very nice." And generally the sons, they follow what their fathers, or they say, and so maybe 25 years later, the scene would be repeated with the young son, now an elder man, or not so old, but with his own son killing a chicken, and the young boy says, "Oh, that's horrible." And the man who in his childhood had said the same thing, saying, no, it's very nice." So different people see according to the modes of nature and according to the association we get. Some people think some things are nice which other people think are horrible. But Bhagavatam distinguishes reality from illusion for the welfare of all, so that we can know what is actually proper and what is improper, what is truth and what is falsity, what should be done and what should not be done. This we learn from the Bhagavatam. Otherwise, if we try to find the truth from people who are not nirmatsaranam satam, people who are envious of others, then they cannot know the truth. The truth is not revealed to them. The truth as it's understood in this world, on this plane, in our petty existence, that is what governments and educators and pretty much what everyone all around us wants to believe. There are even government agencies that they hire people to do trolling on blogs, so that if someone writes something against the government on some blog site, then someone will write a comment, paid by the government, to rubbish that person. And there are spin doctors. People can hire a spin doctor who will represent or manipulate the truth about a person. They do all wrong things, and the spin doctor comes in and says, well, actually, what he did was very good, or they teach them how to be a jerk and come off as if they're someone nice. Of course, it can get difficult when it's revealed, for instance, that you told lies to send a whole country to war. It can get a little difficult. But the spin doctor is to make people who are not good look good. That pejorative term has come into being. The spin doctor. The day before, as I was on a British Airways flight, I flipped through their in-flight magazine, and there was a whole section for businessmen, and there's a company which is offering services to other companies. It's mostly for major corporations. They use the word corporation, so they weren't talking about some little shop on the corner run, which anyway, little shops on the corner probably don't exist anymore. It's all corporations. So this company, their whole business is reputation management. In other words, when your corporation gets found out for doing, say, and it said, why reputation management is important to you? Because if you have a bad name, then your stock value goes down. It's all money. What they're presenting this company, they're presenting that you should hire us so that when you have how to avoid public scandals, and if it happens, we'll help you, we'll manage it for you. And training, giving courses in how to train the officials of the company to speak in such a way that their wrongdoings don't become known, or their wrongdoings are recast in another way. So the whole company is set up just to make an image, a persona of the company, which is the company. This reputation management company doesn't say, well, just do clean business. Because if you do everything clean, then you won't need reputation management. Practically, it is in existence. It's an admittance that these companies are going to do all wrong things, but how to maintain your reputation through all of that, that's their business. So it's a business is existing on the supposition that the corporations are going to do all wrong things, but we'll teach you how to manage it. Reputation management. So you see, the cheating has become institutionalized. And I'm not going to go on. I mean, I already spoke enough about this. You can find it all out on the internet. But then again, you can't sort out what's fact from fiction. It's very difficult. But anyway, we can be sure. There are all kinds of people cheating us all around us. But hey, it's nothing new. It's just, in the modern age, it's become intense, but that's the whole condition of the material world, that people are cheating us. Even the parents are cheating us. Even the parents don't think they're cheating us, but they've been cheated by their parents, and it goes back and back and back. It's a whole parampara of cheating, because the parents try to train us to be good. Well, if they're good parents, then they'll train us to be good and nice and kind of loving and all these things, and forget Krishna in the middle of all of that. So they're cheating us if they don't give us knowledge of Krishna. So that we're not getting the whole truth, only the truth, nothing but the truth. It's nothing new. It's just that it's become exceptionally perverse in the modern world. Otherwise, the whole world is just full of untruth. This is the world of untruth. And even in science, we think, well, science, that's truth, that gives us truth. But there's no proof of, for instance, big bangs or black holes and some scientists, including Stephen Hawking, is talking of the anthropic principle, which sounds very scientific. What it basically means is that because proponents of intelligent design theory, they point out that there are about 20 scientific constants which have to be in place for our, if there's any possibility of Big Bang followed by biological evolution, then it would have to, there would have to be at least 20 scientific constants. That means the weak gravitational force within the atom, and then the strong gravitational force, and the speed of light, and so many things. Gravity, that there are mathematical formulae which define all of these. And the proponents of intelligence, well, it's not only them, but every one of them is extremely fine-tuned, and if any one of them was even slightly different, than the universe as we now know it, according to scientists, could not be the way that it is. And when you get 20, if you get something, the probability of it being exactly as it is already beyond the probability of chance. Even one of them, if you get something like 10 to the power of minus 200, it's already impossible to imagine without being put into place by a specific intelligence. And when you get 20 of them and you multiply all the others, it's totally impossible. So the anthropic principle is the reply to this. This is the scientific reply to the fact that intelligent design is actually a much better hypothesis for the existence of the universe than the idea that it just came into being by chance. Well, they don't say by chance, but actually that's what it boils down to. So the anthropic principle is that, well, we're here now, so it must have happened. That's it. It's not at all scientific. I mean, they don't say it like that. They say it in all big, sophisticated sounding words, very scientific sounding words. What it comes down to is that, well, it may be a fantastic chance that we're here now in the world as we see it, but it must, even though the chances against it are beyond, we can't even imagine such high numbers against the probability of it happening, but it must have happened because we're here now to see it. In other words, it's not scientific at all. It just, from the outside, rejects any mega template of how anything could have, how the universe could have come into existence. But people believe it because they think, oh, science. Must be scientific. Scientific means it's all proved and they know what they're we know what they're talking about, but they must be right because they're scientists. So this is thought manipulation. And we can see actually how via the media, the mass media, they're able to change the way that people think, that the whole culture changes and attitudes change. For instance, in the 19th century, contraception, was artificial contraception, was considered something very wrong. Actually, it is very wrong, as we understand from the Vedic knowledge. It was considered very wrong among Christians, but gradually some Christians became more pragmatic, and within two generations, certain churches which had been completely against artificial contraception, they went to another stage of saying, well, it's okay, if you, yes, we have to be practical. And then they came to the stage of happily endorsing it as necessary for a happy family life. How did that come about? Well, there were lobbies who were promoting. Actually, this is very good. in more recent times, there's been a massive change in the way homosexuality has been viewed in contemporary society. Previously, someone in this country, if you were discovered to be a homosexual, you would be put in jail for that crime. Nowadays, if you say anything against homosexuality, you're likely to be put in jail for that crime. So, what's right and what's wrong? It's what certain people decide. They have no fixed standard. The standard can change. That means they don't actually know what is right and wrong. It's just on the manoratam. So is homosexuality good or bad? Well, all these questions, what is right, what is wrong, what should be done, what should not be done, what is truth, what is untruth, we should see through the eyes of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Chokudano dilo jay janme janme prabhu say, we sing that. Who has given me the eye of knowledge is my master, birth after birth. Who has given me the eye of knowledge. What is that eye of knowledge? The eye of knowledge is that which is understood from Shastra, through sadhus, the bona fide parampara, and our guru is supposed to deliver that. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is transmitted in guru parampara. Again we say, Om Agyana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namah. Who opens our eyes by applying the ointment that clears away the cataracts by giving the knowledge, who by giving knowledge dispels illusion, that is the guru unto whom we offer all respect. So it requires much effort and sincerity to live in truth, because the truth is actually not very difficult to in one sense it's not difficult to understand. I am not this body, I'm not just a bunch of chemicals, that's not me. I'm eternal, I'm spiritual. It's not difficult to understand. The basics of Krishna conscious philosophy, very simple and very easy to understand. But it can be difficult to adhere to it, because we don't like to go against the grain of society. If we have to accept Krishna consciousness, we have to understand that the whole society, all the people we're living in and around, they're all in a big illusion. We can't live our lives like them. We have a different goal of life, different purpose of life. So we have to be bold. to live for the truth. Of course, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, he who came on his own, speaking the message of the absolute truth, absolute is sentient, thou hast proved impersonal calamity, thou hast removed, giving the actual truth of the personality of Godhead, speaking this message, nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshatane, speaking this message in the Western countries where there was no knowledge of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada kindly created a society of devotees in which we can live, we can take strength, we can mutually support each other in our quest to live in the truth, to live in the truth of the fact that we are meant for serving Krishna. So devotees give us, we mutually help each other. Sange Shakti Kalo Yuge. In previous ages, people, they might have executed spiritual life by going off alone into the forest. But in Kali Yuga, especially, we get strength by association with devotees. But inevitably, as soon as there is an organization, even if it's set up for the best purposes, some people will act in ways which are not very good, not very saintly. This spin doctrine, attempt to cover the truth, was the downfall of the Roman Catholic Church in Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, where previously the whole population was committedly Catholic. Nowadays, people, a widespread feeling of revulsion against the Roman Catholic Church for covering up, first of all, having a massive child abuse going on by the priests, especially, and on top of that, covering it up. So the Irish people have revolted against the Catholic Church for, I think, more even for the cover-up than the crimes that they committed. Which actually makes Ireland a very good place for preaching. It always was good for preaching, but nowadays people, they're not really atheistic by their nature, but at the same time they don't want to follow they can't put their faith in the church. So it's very good time for preaching Krishna consciousness there. But we shall have to also see that in our own movement we live for the truth. We don't become a religious institution which goes on that it's once a week on Sundays and the rest of the time, we're devotees, but there are other things in life also. But devotee means anyabhilashita shunyam, not cultivating any other desire but to surrender to Krishna. So that is a danger we have, and that we become like a religion in the conventional sense, that we don't, and then we won't keep a clear focus that we are meant for living in pure Krishna consciousness and for propagating pure Krishna consciousness. Then everything becomes murky, not very clear. Just like the political leaders, we don't expect them to speak the truth, and we may not even want them to speak the truth. We just want to, okay, vote Labour, Conservative, whatever, and just, we'll get on with our lives, and what do we care about all that? So we may also, within our movement, there may be all kinds of things going on which shouldn't be going on, and we don't want to hear about that. Just forget. Chant Hare Krishna. And we don't care whether the leaders tell us what's really going on, what's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We just like to think, well, everything's nice, everything's good, and just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. We let the leaders decide what's good for us, what we're supposed to believe. One devotee told me that there's some scandal had broken out in one country in Europe. Among one of the leaders there had done something very wrong. I can't even remember what it was. All I can remember is the place. So this devotee told me that they had a meeting of the leaders, apart from that one leader who had done something which he clearly shouldn't have been done and had been discovered in doing so. So in the meeting, the first thing was said was that, what are we going to tell the devotees to think about this? And this devotee who told me said that we should instruct them via Shastra to think for themselves and understand. But that wasn't appreciated. No, you just, that's too much, you know, that's too high. Right now we've got to tell them what they should think. Oh dear, then we lost the movement. If we're not being trained to see through the eye of Shastra, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, what is reality distinguished from illusion, and rather that we as a movement, we want to maintain some facade, even when things inevitably go wrong. And in one sense, we need not be too much disturbed, if everything's not wrong, if the intention is correct and there things go wrong, people do wrong things, well, there should be checks and balances so that, well, leaders, they have scope to do more wrong. They're not here making a campaign against leaders, but when they do things wrong, it becomes more prominent, and especially religious leaders are expected to be ideal people. So when religious leaders do things wrong, it becomes scandalous. But the teaching that we should imbibe is how to understand this and go on with it in our Krishna consciousness, rather than making up some myth or make some story to try. Well, actually, it didn't happen like that. The person who said they're not correct. Whatever, we can make so many stories to cover up all these things. Living in the truth means to understand that Maya is the greatest spin doctor. To try to unravel on the material plane what is truth and what is untruth, it's a waste of time. I mean, there's relative truth and relative falsity, but ultimately it's all falsity. The very idea that we can be happy in this world is a false proposition. And if you start off a syllogism with a false proposition, then the whole thing is useless from the beginning. Any proposition that we make, if the premises are false, then it's all meaningless, and there's no meaning to pursue it. But that is the material world. Maya makes us think, asatyare satya karimani. We think what is untrue is true. And so everything is wrong, everything is mistaken, everything is scandalous from beginning to end. The devotees of the Lord, they're meant to distinguish truth from illusion, reality from illusion, for the benefit of all. We are supposed to be the myth busters. Srila Prabhupada especially, he spoke out about how scientists are cheating, the politicians are cheating, the religionists are cheating, the Mayavadis especially are cheating. This should be revealed and give the real truth, that we are all eternal living beings. We are meant to live in bliss, in service to Krishna. We are also meant, our movement is a preaching movement, that means we're trying to change the way that people think. And if we think, for instance, how in one generation or less, in the Western world, the whole attitude toward homosexuals changed, and on a more longer gradient of time prior to that, how attitude towards women changed. So it is possible to make massive changes in the way people think. ISKCON is meant for that. ISKCON is meant for changing the way that people think so that they can see clearly and understand clearly what is reality and what is illusion and act on that platform. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abhadhavatyapi namanyanantasya yashonkitani yachchinvanti gayanti grunanti sadavaha. This is the verse which Srila Prabhupada quoted, or a verse which Srila Prabhupada quoted in his preface to the Srimad Bhagavatam. It was on this, on the message of this verse informed his whole Bhagavatam commentary. It means that in comparison to the words of materialistic people who do not praise Krishna, whose discussions are like a pilgrimage place for crows, in comparison to that, the glorification of Krishna, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a completely different kind of message to that which the materialistic people give. It is meant for creating a revolution in the impious lives of a misdirected civilization. Even if it is not abhadavatyapi, even the Srila Prabhupada's English was not perfect grammatically and in other ways, it was non-standard English. But nevertheless, because it was presented as a faithful rendition of the actual message of the Bhagavatam, Bhakti Siddhanta Vani, the message of the proper conclusion of pure devotional service to Krishna. Therefore, that message should be heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. In that verse, Srila Prabhupada translated sadhu, the plural of sadhu, as purified men who are thoroughly honest. So, Srila Prabhupada's movement is meant for changing the world, for changing the way people think. We first of all have to change the way that we think. If we adjust to modern society, if we think, well, people aren't listening to us, so let's become a little bit like them, and then they'll like us, and then they'll listen to us. But it doesn't work. As Srila Prabhupada quoted his own guru, saying that one who compromises is lost. So we have this very valuable commodity, invaluable, that is the ultimate truth, as given in Srimad Bhagavatam. The ultimate truth is Vedanti Tattvavidas Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabyate. That truth is described by knowers of the truth as Brahman, as Paramatma, and ultimately as Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Bhakti Siddhanta Vani means to present the science of God, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, for the benefit of all. Unfortunately, even though we think this is a small town, Crawley, population about 40,000, but very, very, very few people are interested, even those who identify themselves as devotees, and most of them, it seems, are not interested enough on their Saturday morning, they're off work, to come and listen to this. Maybe if I'd have promised a magic show in the middle, it might have got more attendance. So, who will listen? We have to make strong propaganda. This message is meant for saving the world in its darkest hour. The urgency of Krishna consciousness should be imprinted on others by all means. So, Hare Krishna, I'm going to finish now this small talk. The talk Well, it's not small talk. When you say small talk, it means chit-chat. Small in the sense that, well, I guess it's quite long by ISKCON standards, almost 1.5 hours. But definitely it's not small talk. It's very, very big talk. What we had to discuss, very big topics. While compiling that book, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, and I trust that those who read it, they can understand that we are in the presence of magnificence. This is nothing small or petty. Neither the person, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, nor that which he manifested, Bhaktisiddhanta, is nothing small or petty or... this is so big, we can only bow down. That's what we should do. We should bow down to that person and to his message. It's a very great thing. I'll bring this talk to an end. And now it's going to be initiation. It's also a very big thing. It's not a small thing. It's the first important thing that anyone can ever do in this world, becoming a prime minister or a rock star. Oh, that reminds me of something else. I'll just relate this. I saw also in the Times, respectable, highly respected newspaper of Britain, symbol of Britain, the Times, right? It's one of the things that makes Britain what it is, such a great country. The Times, the Telegraph, these are the two respectable papers. So in there, I mean, I don't regularly read them, just when I'm on the plane, I sometimes flip through them. So it came to a page, and the heading was Culture. So it's one or two pages devoted to culture. And then the photograph, which shows that it's the culture page, like if it was sports, then you'd have a photo of someone kicking a ball. And if it's, anyway, culture. So the photo was of some young woman, I guess in her 20s, with her hair completely wild, looking completely crazed, holding a guitar, and that's supposed to be culture. We need to preach Krishna consciousness. On that note, it is noticeable, don't mind me saying, how devotees, or people in general who come from India or have an Indian background, when they come to this place, how they become influenced by this culture. It's not a happy thing to notice. Of course, it's nice that those who keep their culture to the extent of chanting Hare Krishna. But how they lose their culture, it's very sad. Anyway, where's that? There's the Babu, who's come from India and wants to keep his culture. The best of Indian culture is chanting Hare Krishna. So, so it'll be initiation. Now, generally it's thought we have to have initiation ceremony with the yajna and all this. Actually, in giving Harinam, the only thing that's required is giving vows and then taking the beads. And if the Ganga was here, you could go and take a bath in the Ganga. But I don't know if there's any river in Crawley, and if you tried taking a bath in it, you might get arrested. We regularly had that. We used to, traveling Sankirtan in England and Ireland, we used to go and bath in the rivers. And sometimes the police would be patrolling at night, because the time we bathe is still night for them. And they would just be astonished. What are you doing at 4 o'clock in the morning? Swimming in the river. We're not really swimming, but it's probably illegal for main major reason, that is, you could kill yourself by bathing. Not from drowning, but from the pollution. The rivers are cleaned up now. But in those days, the rivers were so polluted that you could die just from swimming. If you drank a little of the water, the Tyne especially in Newcastle was very polluted. So I'm really going off and off course. What am I talking about? You're getting initiated, are you? So yeah, you could take a bath in the Ganga if you were in, for instance, Pataliputra instead of in Crawley. But anyway, for Harinam, you just the main thing is you give your vow, and you get the beads and you get a name. So the yagya is actually required officially for a for giving mantra, either Vedic mantra or Pancharatrik mantras. But Hare Krishna mantra, it's a Vedic mantra, but it's a general also. So it's available to everyone. So no yagya is required. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, just go and distribute it everywhere. So without any more ado, then you may say, why did Srila Prabhupada have a yagya? I feel he did it as a sanskar, to make an impression in people's minds that this is something very serious. Just like previously, the vivaha sanskar, that would go on in some castes that they would have for 7 days or 4 days. And then it came down to 1 day, and now it's 1 hour practically in India because they don't want to waste time. They're busy on Facebook or whatever. So there's no sanskar. There's no the sanskar. It's not. A major part of it is having a big ceremony to create an impression in the mind that this is something very serious and important. Which is one reason they had long drawn out wedding ceremonies. This is something very serious and important. It's not just something. Well, let's try it out. And if it doesn't work, we'll get a divorce. It's not like that. It's something very serious. So, similarly, as I understand it, Srila Prabhupada had an elaborate ceremony for giving what we call first initiation, although it's not fully required. And as it's not allowed in this building, so I'm told, to have fires, so we're dispensing with that. What's that there? Does anyone know that? That's air conditioning. Huh? It looks a little bit like what you get in kitchens, that for removing the air, for the smoke and everything. Air extractor. Yeah. But it's not. I was thinking, could have done a yagya under there if it was an air extractor, which it's not. Okay, so all you have to do now is surrender your life to Krishna via the Guru. And the formality of it is very simple. You can come and offer obeisances to myself as your initiating Guru, and to Srila Prabhupada, and to Sri Sri Gaur Nittai, and then come and sit here. let him offer obeisance and then you can put the garland. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Okay, very good. Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare.
Hare Rama. Hare Rama.